Africana.
Your non-stop entertainment radio.
Can we give each other hope? Can we give each other hope?
Everybody, and welcome to Second Chances. You're listening to Second Chances with Hilaria Asumu on Radio Africana. I'm Hilaria. I'm a kidney transplant recipient, a community health advocate, and someone who was given a second chance by a family I have never met. This show exists because of them, and because every week someone in the UK dies waiting for a transplant that never comes. Second Chances is for our communities, for the conversations that happen around the kitchen table, in the church pew, and in the hospital waiting room. The conversations that save lives when they happen and cost lives when they do not. Every Sunday at 5 p.m., this is your show, so welcome and sit back and enjoy. 9 weeks, we've had 9 weeks, and we've talked about different topics. We have heard from transplant recipients, from living donors, from faith leaders, families, young people, advocates, and diaspora communities navigating two worlds. We have covered a lot of ground. Tonight, I want to stop and turn to face his story that has been sitting at the edge of every episode of this series, waiting. The story of the family, Not the family who watched their loved one receive a transplant and come home. Not the family who said yes to living donation while their person was still alive. But the family who received the worst phone call, who arrived at a hospital and were told that the person they love was not going to recover. And who in that corridor, in that grief, were asked a question: whether their person's organs could be donated. And who had to decide? Without warning, without preparation, with nothing to hold on to except what they thought that person, their person, would have wanted. Some of them said yes, and some of those families have been carrying that yes quietly in private ever since. Tonight is for them. This is episode 9 of this series of Second Chances, live on Radio Africana in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. Stay with me. I want to describe what happens, not in medical language, but in human language. When a person dies, or when the decision is made that they will not recover, there is a process. It is managed by trained specialist nurses, people whose entire professional purpose is to hold this conversation with families with as much care and sensitivity as the moment allows. They are called specialist nurses in organ donation, and they are some of the most human professionals in the entire NHS. They approach families, they explain what has happened, they confirm that the medical team has done everything possible. And then, at the right moment, when the family is ready, they ask. They ask this question: did your loved one ever talk about organ donation? Did they register? What do you think they would have wanted? That conversation can last minutes or hours. It can be gentle or complicated. It can bring a family together around a shared understanding of who their loved one was. Or it can surface disagreements that have no easy resolutions. And the family's answer, whether yes or no, rests on so many things. Things like what the deceased expressed in life, what the family believes about the body, what their faith says, what their cultural framework holds, and how much they were able to absorb in the shock of that moment. And most importantly, whether there was a conversation that had already happened. That last point is the most important one in this episode. When families know what their families wanted, and when there is a registration, a prior conversation, a clear expressed wish, the decision is most often than not easier to hold. It's not easy, but easier, because then they understand what their loved one wanted. However, they are not deciding alone. They are honoring. There is a difference between those two things that anyone who has been in that corridor would understand immediately. And I hope that there are donor families listening right now. When they are asked cold in their grief and shock with no prior guidance, they often say no. not because they are opposed to organ donation, but because they are overwhelmed and there's nothing to hold on to. And in the absence of certainty, most people choose the option that feels most protective. And in that moment, protection feels like keeping the body whole. This is why the conversation matters. This is why I say it every week. Have a conversation with your family. It's not about the registration alone, the conversation, talking to your family about what you have done. The one at the family table, the one that says, "This is what I want. I need you to know that." That conversation is the gift you give to the people who love you, so that when they are in that corridor, they are not deciding, they are honoring. T.Y. Bello wrote Greenland as a song about a place of promise, about something held in hope that has not yet arrived fully. For the families we're talking about tonight, the families who said yes in that corridor, what they were holding in that moment was the hope that something good could still come from the worst thing. That is a particular kind of faith. Greenland, don't go away.
Clouds got gray. The thunder roars and the earth sings. The season's just beginning. The sunlight it hides as the clouds make way. From the pouring of my blessings, I will not be afraid. I see it now, I understand, I know. So I embrace it, dance. In the rain it's for my seed to grow. For every prayer and every seed I've sown, Lord of the harvest knows I'm reaping back a hundredfold. The land is green, it's green, oh, oh. The land is green, it's green. Can't you see? The harvest is ready, cause the Lord of the harvest told me so. It's green, it's green for me. It's green for me. Standing alone can be a heavy load, but my vows I won't be breaking. Though my heart is aching, I got a word and I won't let go. It's your will I'm seeking, so I keep on believing. I see it now, I understand, I know. So I embrace it, dance. Once again it's time for me to grow. For every prayer and every tear I've sown, Lord of the harvest knows I'm reaping joy a hundredfold. The land is green, it's green, oh, oh. The land is green, it's green, can't you see?
Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that song. That was T.Y. Bello with Greenland. Still holding on to our last topic. Now I want to talk about what the family carries after, because the conversation in the corridor is only the beginning. I want to describe what the family carries after the yes, based on what donor families say consistently when they're asked honestly and with time between them and the decision. The first thing they carry is uncertainty. In the early weeks and months, many donor families describe a recurring question: did we do the right thing? It's not because they doubt the decision, but because the grief is so large that everything inside it gets examined. The specialist nurses, the charities that support donor families, the communities around them, all of them play a role in answering that question over and over until it stops needing to be asked. Yes, you did the right thing. The second thing is the search for the recipient. Some donor families want to know who received their person's or their loved one's organs. Some do not. Both are completely valid. And I don't want people to think anything about those. But for those who want to know, who write the letters that the NHS facilitates between donor families and recipients, there is something profound in that contact. I remember when I wrote to my donor family, to the mother who agreed to organ donation. It took me a long time to do it. It took me almost a year to do that, because every time I sat down to write, because I wanted it to be handwritten, not typed, I cried my eyes out. I cried so much. And every time, by the time I finish writing, the paper is soaked with my tears. And, you know, I finally managed to write. And do you know, it was like a huge burden off my shoulders. Because to hear sometimes, especially of people like, you know, there was a man in his 50s who received a kidney and he went back to his garden. That's a recipient. That is something that donor families look forward to hear how they're doing. And I hope that my donor family know that, you know, I am doing okay. I am doing, you know, doing great and continuing to raise awareness about organ donation. They want to hear about, you know, how the kidney is doing. For those who received, recipients who received hearts, sometimes it actually helps the donor family to meet them and listen to that heart, because that is their child. That is their child's heart that is beating. I know of a young woman who received a heart and danced at her daughter's wedding years down the line. That was something that, you know, someone died and they used their heart to keep somebody else alive. And it went into somebody else's body. That heart went to somebody else's body and helped them to see their daughter get married and dance with their daughter on their wedding day. How amazing is that? That knowledge does not remove the grief. Nothing ever removes that grief. But it sits alongside it and it changes its shape. It gives that, you know, donor family a little bit of relief, a little bit of comfort that their loved one is doing something for somebody else. The third thing is purpose. Many donor families describe a before and after in how they understand their loved one's life and death. It's not a comfortable after, though, and it's not a tidy narrative, but it's a sense that the worst moment had a direction, that something was not wasted, that the person they loved in their death, as in their life, gave something. And it is not a small thing. For many families, it is the thing that makes the grief survivable. I want to say something directly to any donor family listening right now, at this very moment, tonight. What you did in that corridor, in that ward where your loved one lay dying, was one of the most profound acts of generosity in human experience. You were in the worst moment of your life, and you reached past your own pain to think about someone you had never met. You did not do it for recognition. You may never have spoken about it publicly. You may carry it in a place that most people in your life do not even know about. This show sees you. I recognize you. And most importantly, I thank you on behalf of all recipients. Our community of recipients, we see you, whether we're in touch with you or we are not. You have given us a second chance at life. And what your loved one gave is still living, right now in someone else's body. That will never stop being true. So rest assured that every Sunday I come on this show, in front of this microphone, I'm doing it because of all of you, on behalf of all recipients. Because without you saying yes, we would not be able to do what we're doing today. So, thank you. Ebuka songs. Write songs about being known by something larger than himself. About a presence that does not live even in the hardest places. For the families we have just been talking about, and for anyone in the audience who is carrying grief tonight, this song is for you. I'll see you back here in a minute.
Now me go still laugh last. Hey! Are you ready? Hey, hey. Somebody, anybody, let's go, let's go. So now or later, your testimony go enter. No need to bother, Oluwa dey your matter. All things are working, tomorrow will be better. Give him the praise now, cause a miracle with your name.
Song was by Moses Bliss, What's With My Name. So I hope you enjoyed that, and welcome back to this segment. Nobody likes to remember the pain they went through, whether as somebody, as a recipient who was waiting for a transplant, or as a donor family who have to make that difficult decision. I want to address something practical, because this episode is not only for families who have already been in that corridor or ward. It's for everyone who has not yet been there and who can change what that experience looks like for the people who love them. There are two things you can do for the people who love you that will change what they experience if they are ever in that corridor. The first is to register. Go to organdonation.nhs.uk tonight. It only takes 2 minutes. 2 minutes to register your decision. Your registration is a record of your wish. It is the thing your family will be able to point to when they need something to hold. It does not make the conversation unnecessary, but it actually anchors it. It says this was not decided under pressure. It was decided by that person in an ordinary moment without urgency because they thought it mattered. So that is one of the reasons it's very important that you register right now as you're listening to me. It doesn't take more than 2 minutes. The second thing is to tell them, to talk to them, to speak to them. And I've been saying this in every episode during the series. When you register tonight, tomorrow, you can, or this week at the latest, tell one person in your family that you have registered as an organ donor. It's not a long conversation, you know. You can play this episode, you can play some of the episodes, you can find them on YouTube. They're being uploaded right now, or you can find them on Radio Africana website. They've been uploaded. Pick one of them and just share it. You don't have to share the whole episode. You don't have to replay all of that at the dinner table. Just a little bit. Maybe the part where I share my story and the part where I ask you to sign up to the organ donor register. Because when it comes from somebody within the family, it actually lands better. It is easier for family to take that decision because they know that one of them has done it. And, you know, it is good to do it as well. I know that a lot of people don't think about organ donation until it's absolutely necessary or until one of the family members has been diagnosed with kidney disease or they need an organ. So before it gets to that point, I think it is only fair to register to be a donor. And as I said, only 2 minutes. And all you have to do is have that talk with your family after doing it. Just say, I want you to know what I want, and I need you to know that I trust you with it. And when you tell family that, I know there'll be loads of arguments about it. There'll be, you know, questions. Why are you doing this? There'll be pressure. But just stick with it. Because that sentence, I trust you with my decision, is profound. Because that is what you are doing when you have this conversation. You are placing your trust in your family to respect your wishes. You are not burdening your family with a morbid topic. You are giving them a gift of certainty, the gift of not having to decide in the dark, the gift of being able to say in that corridor When the specialist nurse asks, I know what they wanted and I'm honoring it. The families in tonight's episode did not have that. Many of them decided without guidance, and they did something extraordinary in the absence of it. I remember a lady talking about, I think it was in Spain, they lost their partner suddenly, and for some reason they remembered something about organ donation. I'm trying to remember the story because it was a long time ago, and they went to the hospital and they asked if their loved one, their partner, if they could donate their organs. They took that decision, even if, you know, it wasn't a specific instruction from their partner, but they've been having conversations about it. And unfortunately, they couldn't use their partner's organs because apparently they had died outside of the requirements. But, you know, for others, this situation usually is not common, okay? So don't think that, oh, if my relative dies, maybe they might not be able to donate. You have to leave that decision to the medical professionals in the hospital. But you can give your family something better than extraordinary. You can give them certainty. So have that talk so that even if, you know, it's just a conversation, if anything happens, they know what you want. So Ada Ehi wrote a song about another miracle, and that featured Dena Nwana as a statement of identity under pressure, of knowing yourself clearly enough that no circumstance can make you forget. For donor families who have to know who their person was clear, who have to know who their person was clearly enough to speak to for them in the worst moment, that kind of knowing is everything. So here is another miracle by Ada Ehi featuring Dena Nwana. I hope I pronounced that right. And I'll see you back here in a minute.
That's fine.
That was Ada Ehi with Miracle, and I hope you enjoyed that. Now, I want to talk about something that is specific to our community, the Black community's relationship with grief, with death, with the body after death, and how those traditions sit alongside the organ donation conversation. African and Caribbean communities have rich, deeply held traditions around death. For them, the body matters. How it's treated after death matters to them. The funeral also matters, and the gathering, those people who come around to mourn alongside them, the gathering matters. Also, the going home, whether literally or symbolically, matters. And these are not obstacles to organ donation. I want you to sit with that. And I want to repeat. These are not obstacles to organ donation. They are the framework inside which the organ donation decision has to be made and understood. And the campaigns that ignore that framework always fails. And should fail. But I want to say something carefully here. The organ donation process does not disrespect the body. The surgery is performed with the same care as any other surgery. The body is treated with the same dignity and respect. It is released to the family for burial or cremation in exactly the same way. The funeral can still happen. The going home can still happen. Everything that matters in our traditions around the body can still happen. Many families in African and Caribbean communities have discovered this after the decision, after donation, after the grief began to settle, and have said, "I did not know that. If I had known that, the decision would have been different." And I know because I have an experience of that, of a friend who died, and in their grief, the family did not think. But then another friend reminded them that I was waiting for a transplant. And they asked, "Was it too late? Is it too late to donate?" And they said, "Yes, it's too late." Because by this time, it was probably about 3 days after. That is the information gap that blackorgandonation.org.uk is trying to close. And that is what episode 2 of this series was for. And the 9 weeks of this show has been for trying to tell you that the body belongs to God in most of our traditions. And there is a strong theological argument across Christianity, Islam, and African traditional thought that giving from that body to sustain another life is not a violation of that belonging. It is an expression of it. Sit with that. Not every family will reach that conclusion, and that is their right. Every family deserves the information to make the decision fully. Not in the dark, not with the myths intact, not with the fears named only after the corridor decision had happened, but in the clear day of light. Sinach wrote a song, "I Know Who I Am." Donor families know who they are, and they know what they need to do, especially when they've had that conversation with their loved one, and in unfortunate circumstances, they know that they can support the decision of their loved one. Here is Sinash, and I will see you back here in a little bit.
Chosen generation, all for to show His excellence.
All I require for life,
all I require for life, God has given me, and I know who I am.
We are a chosen generation.
We are a chosen generation.
Wow, I was dancing to that. I love that song by Sinash. That was I Know Who I Am. And, you know, I just picked out a few. I was writing, you see me looking down. I was just writing something. And, you know, some of the words just sort of impacted me. We are the chosen generation. I know who I am. I am working in power. I am working in miracles. And that's the kind that at last, the moment that we made that decision. Your actions, and you know, when you make decisions, you know who you are, because you know that this is what you are meant to do. Three things I want to mention now. I want you to do the first one tonight before you go to sleep. The first one is to register at organdonation.nhs.uk. As I said, 2 minutes tonight. Because when you register, you are giving hope to those 8,200 people on the transplant list. You're not doing it for yourself. For the people who love you, so that if you're ever in that corridor, they are not deciding in the dark. Have the conversation. Tell one person. That's the second thing I want you to do. Tomorrow, this week, before the weekend, I want you to know what I want. It's the only sentence you have to say, and maybe add, I trust you with my decision. That sentence to one person. I want you to know what I want, and I want to trust you with it. I have signed up to the organ donor register. Number three, to help with those difficult conversations, visit blackorgandonation.org.uk. So I know people will be saying, what's org? O-R-G, because there are people listening from outside the UK. So it's blackorgandonation.org.uk. Find the section about donation conversation and what families can expect. Share it with one person with your family who you know is carrying questions they have not asked yet. Also, find the WSH BME Kidney Network on Facebook. That community is having this conversation every day, including tonight. If you are a donor family and tonight's show moved something in you, please reach out to WSH BME Kidney Network. Your story belongs in this conversation, and this community is ready to hold it. This episode has been made in partnership with NHS Blood and Transplant. They funded us to be able to provide this, all these episodes talking about organ donation, both living and deceased donation, to you listening to me right now. I want to close tonight by saying something I have never said publicly. I do not know who my donor family are. I do not know their names. I do not know where they live. I do not know what the decision was like for them in that corridor or ward. I do not know whether they have ever wondered about me. What I know is that they said yes. And that yes is in my body right now. It is in every morning I've woken up since 2018, in every show I have broadcast, in every conversation I have had with a young person about organ donation, in every family that has registered because of something they heard on this program. On Thursday, I was at an event in Salford, at Salford University, and 90% of the audience were people from the Black and Caribbean community, including the Asian community. And when I shared my story, a lot of people were moved by it. I want to encourage you as a recipient, if you're listening to me right now, share your story. You don't know who you could touch by sharing your story. Your yes, for this is for donor families, your yes is still working. It's still keeping thousands of people alive. It is still, for my donor family, it is still keeping me alive. 8 years later. It is in me and in everyone I have reached. If you're listening tonight, if by some extraordinary coincidence you found this show and tuned in this evening, I want you to hear this. I want to encourage you to sit with what you've heard today and go to that website, organdonation.nhs.uk, and even if you can sign tonight, if you can sign up tonight, sit with it, read through the questions, sit with it, explore other pages, and then make your decision. For those potential donor families and donor families as well, I always say thank you. What you did in that corridor did not end there. It is still going. It will still be going long after you have left this world or I have left this world. That is what love leaves behind. It's not the grief, it's not the loss, it's not the ward or the corridor where you made the decision. It is the still going, because your decision would impact not just the recipients, but also their families. There are some people who are young who should be, who should have children, and because of their illness, they were not able to. Your decision has impacted them. They're going to have children. They're going to talk about their donors, because it's something we recipients always talk about. Second chances are not given. They are received, and they come from a family who said yes in a corridor, in their worst moment, for someone they never met. Register tonight at organdonation.nhs.uk. Tell someone this week. Visit blackorgandonation.org.uk. Download Kinect at kinect.org, kinectapp.org. And tune in next week when I'm going to be talking about our next topic. Next week is episode 10. That is the last topic of the series, and there's something new coming. And I want you to tune in next week, because when I talk about this new program that's coming, I know that you are going to be excited, because I'm excited. I'm really excited, and I want to see a lot of people tuning in and then taking that news forward and passing it on to people around them in their communities and encouraging them to engage with that program. I am Hilaria Asumu. This is Second Chances on Radio Africana. I'll see you next Sunday, and thank you very much for listening. Thank you for taking the time this evening. I love you all, and hopefully, I hope that you would sign in next week to hear what I have in store for you. Our last song for the evening is Chioma Jesus with Okaka, and I hope you like it and you enjoy it. And also, it ministers to you as you go onto organdonation.nhs.uk to sign up, and afterwards have that conversation with your family. Good night. Thank you.